Velkommen til anden udgave af The Fire That Burns podcast. En podcast med fokus på metallets mest episke og mest storslåede genre. Power, folk, symphonic og black metal. Siden vi hørtes ved i starten af oktober, har flere spændende nye udgivelser set dagens lys. Der er for eksempel kommet nyt fra de finske trolde i Finntroll. Deres første i hele 7 år faktisk. Den vender jeg tilbage til lidt senere i den her podcast, hvor jeg snakker med bandets sanger Mathias. Og så er der altså kommet nyt med norske Enslaved. Udgår hedder deres nyeste album, som har modtaget lidt spredte og delte meninger i pressen. Nogle er vilde med deres meget progressive stil på det her nye album, mens andre måske savner, at de kører den sådan lidt mere straightforward, viking black metal-agtigt, som de var i starten af deres karriere. Og så er der altså landet en plade, som ja, jeg må sige, jeg er faldet fuldstændig på røven over. Det er et nyt power metal album med et debuterende band fra Grækenland. Det er et band, som jeg for nylig faldt over på hjemmesiden Angry Metal Guy, som har anmeldt deres debutalbum, Damned for All Time, som den hedder. Og det her band, det hedder Sacred Outcry, og ja, de kommer altså fra Grækenland. Og det, kære lytter, det er et album, der eddermame har sparket benene væk under mig. De har smedet et album sammen på 9 geniale power metal sange. Og det har de altså været 22 år undervejs om at lave. Ja, du hørte rigtigt. Det her band har været i gang med Damned for All Time i 22 år, og først nu, altså her i 2020, er albumet blevet udgivet via No Remorse Records i Grækenland. Men hold nu kæft, det har været ventetiden værd, fordi det her album, det er et af de bedste power metal albums, jeg har hørt i mange, mange år. Det her album, det er episk, uden at det knækker over i alt for store, storladende symfonier. Det er mørkt, det er atmosfærisk, det har harmonier, de har en sanger, der er outstanding. Det er bare et pissehammerende fedt band. Sacred Outcry hedder bandet, Damned for All Times hedder debutudgivelsen, og nu skal du høre det første nummer på pladen, Legion of the Fallen.
Only us.
Legion of the Fallen med Sacred Outcry. Et albumdebuterende band her i 2020 med Damned for All Time. Shit, altså, det her, det er fandme fedt. Sangeren, som du hørte på det her nummer her, det er i øvrigt græske Janis, som der til daglig synger i finske Beast in Black. Og jamen, kunne du lide, hvad du hørte her, så vil jeg varmt anbefale dig at gå ind og tjekke resten af pladen ud. For eksempel inde på Bandcamp. Men jeg synes dog, du skal blive hængende her lidt endnu, fordi nu har jeg faktisk fået hul igennem til netop Sacred Outcry direkte fra Grækenland med bassist og sangskriver George Apollodimas. George, thank you so much for joining and welcome to the podcast.
Hi Soren, very nice to be here. Thank you for your interest to the band.
Yeah,
and it's very nice since it's actually my first podcast, so you know.
Great. I literally just heard of you guys, Sacred Outcry, a couple of weeks ago when I read a great review of your new album Damned for All Time in on Angry Metal Guy, and I listened to the album and I was just totally blown away. So I think we should just start with an introduction for all the potentially new Danish fans. Who and what is Sacred Outcry?
All right, so let me start by saying thank you for all your kind words. You know, the album has been dwelling in my mind for many years. The band was first formed in 1998 when we were very, very young. And when we managed to get a stable lineup back then, we started recording the album back in 2001. Mm. But you know, due to our inexperience and you know, various other problems that you know are very, very, you know, old now, mm. We never managed to actually give the record the proper treatment. We never, you know, reached the level that we wanted to release it. So you know, after some years, you know, this brought the band to a halt, and we decided, you know, to pause, let's say, for a bit, and you know, reorganize, continue composing new stuff for the potential second album. But a bit later, our original vocalist Vangelis, who is playing the acoustic guitars on this release, he had to move back to his hometown. So you know, that was pretty much the end of the band. After that, back in 2015, we actually three out of the four, you know, the original lineup, we got back together and we said, okay, it's time to re-record the album. And after, you know, we started with the recordings with you know, just a MIDI track with the metronomes, etc. And after slowly the album started taking shape, I contacted Janis to handle the vocals. So, you know, the final result is what you hear now.
Yeah, great, great. And yeah, you just said that you had Janis, he's from Beast in Black.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, doing the vocals. What would you say about his work on the album? Why did you choose him? I mean, when I listen to the album, I think his vocal is maybe one of the greatest parts of the album, if I must say.
Yeah, yeah, of course. You know, as I told you, because all the songs are written way back in 2000. For all the years that we were disbanded, let's say, I kept you know, listening to the old recordings, and I was trying to imagine how the album would sound at its best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the best possible vocalist, with the best possible performance, everything like that. And you know, I love the diversity in the vocals. I want you know, the singer to reach high notes. It's all about the delivery. You know, it's not about hitting a note. And I had actually a couple of other options in mind as I was listening to the album during the years. But when I discovered Janis back in 2013, I think he did a kick-ass cover of Crimson Glory track.
Yeah.
And you know, I was blown away. I said, like, wow, this guy can really sing. And I was a very big fan of his old band Wardrum, mm-hmm. you know, just before he joined Beast in Black. And I think that you know, his work speaks volumes in the album. I mean, he took every little idea and every little hint and every little guidance that I gave him regarding the vocals, and he did it, you know, tenfold. It was amazing. And I think that it's one of our, you know, strongest points on the album.
Yeah, it's very diverse. I mean, when I heard the album at first, I didn't realize that it was him singing, you know. when you hear the Beast of Black album, it's just, you know, falsetto all the way, and he's much more raw and dark here.
It's you know, it's different music, actually, different approach to his way of singing. And the whole point here was not to use Yanis as you know, some sort of cheap marketing trick or anything. It did him to give his 100%, and that's why we didn't you know, advertise his participation at all. You know, you could very easily market the whole album with Yanis behind the mic, but you know, that wasn't the point. The point is that Yanis gave his 100%. Many people, you know, heard him doing stuff that they perhaps were not aware that he could do. You know, his other way of singing. And I think that, you know, he's a phenomenal singer. And, you know, the most important thing is he's a fantastic guy. He's very easygoing, and he has an extreme control of his voice. And he can, you know, easily understand and focus on whatever the song needs.
Let's talk about the production of the album, because I think it's great production. Have you recorded this on your own and produced it on your own?
That was the original idea, actually. When we started back in 2015, we said, okay, we can pretty much take advantage of all the technology now, and we can record most of the stuff ourselves, and you know, perhaps give it to somebody to mix and master, and we can have a much better result. But as we were progressing, and we started like that, because the recordings lasted about four years or something. So as we were progressing, and as the album was shaping towards its final form, you know, with Yanis joining or the orchestral arrangements that were added, we understood that the level was, you know, much higher than we expected earlier. So I didn't think that it was a good idea to handle everything ourselves. So after we finished all the recordings, I had a good friend of mine, Steve, who is responsible for the final sound. Steve is actually a very well-known producer here in Greece.
Mm-hmm.
He took all the recordings, and we went to his studio for you know, a couple of months, and we edited and you know, reamped everything. And he's responsible for the final sound that you actually listen to the album.
Another thing that I like about the album is that it sounds like, you know, old school power metal. I think nowadays power metal is more like it has become very bombastic and very melodic. This is more like old school, kind of old school Iced Earth kind of vibe, I think.
I understand. Well, you know, the thing is, it's only natural, because you can we're not doing this professionally, and I mean, you know, we try to be professionals at everything, you know, the way we approach music. But you know, it's not. We make our living in other ways. You know, nobody lives off music apart from Yanis, who is, you know, a professional. For us, it's not about being catchy or trying to target a wider audience. We write everything that we want to hear, and don't forget that the material was written, you know, much older. The music is a bit different now. But most of the power metal bands today, they are more. You know, they try to be catchy. You know, it's only natural, because the audience is different as well. Because, you know, back in the day, there wasn't all the exposure that you could get with just a click on YouTube or Spotify or Bandcamp or, you know, anything. People had to actually listen to the album, buy the album and listen to the album. Now that you can hear an entire band's discography with one click, you know, the band that wants to progress, let's say, professionally, they have to be able to get the listener and keep him by, you know, 15 seconds that he will spend on listening, you know, just a track on YouTube. That was not our point. Our point was to write good songs. You know, we focused, our main focus was the songwriting. Did each song to have a strength by itself, you know, have a very specific place in the album. And We paid attention to every detail. We didn't want to repeat ourselves. I believe, actually, you know, I cannot be very objective for the album, but, you know, my view is that the whole point is that the album sounds fresh, whichever point, you know, you can play a different track, and it sounds like Sacred Outcry, but it sounds totally different than the other track that you heard. that was the, you know, that was the idea, to stay original throughout the whole duration.
Yeah, and I think you can hear that. Has there been some kind of main theme or main inspiration for this album? Is there an overall theme?
On the lyric side, I always try to, you know, tell a story, you know, with a beginning, middle, and the end, and an end. The album itself does not have a concept, you know, overall. Mm. But yeah, of course, a very big inspiration is Michael Moorcock and his works, you know, for Elric. Elric is, you know, depicted on the cover as well. I'm pretty sure that many of the younger listeners might not know who this is, but in a couple of years, Netflix should make a series out of him or so. You know, we're ahead of the curve here.
Yeah.
And you know, otherwise, I'd say, you know, sword and sorcery, fantasy stuff. You know, where I'm very influenced by pretty much all the grand epics, like Lord of the Rings, the works of Robert Howard. So, you know, everything like that you can see in our music.
Yeah, cool. And so now the album has finally, if you may say so, been released on No Remorse Records. What does the future hold for Sacred Outcry? Are we going to have a new album coming in 22 years? Or are we going to play live? Or what's...
No, 22-year wait for the next album. The whole thing is that, you know, with the corona situation, all the live performances are postponed, which for us is a blessing because, you know, we weren't going to play live, at least for the time being. So, you know, we kind of benefit from the situation because most people are inside and trying to find new music. So perhaps we can, you know, our music can find its way to a bigger audience. But for a live performance, I wouldn't say that anything is in the works, at least not for now. But for a second album, yeah, of course. The whole idea is, you know, it actually makes sense because if you're a band that has no immediate plans for a live performance, the only way to keep people interested in the band is, you know, if you keep releasing good stuff, quality stuff that live up to, you know, your previous work. So it doesn't make sense for us to wait like 3 or 4 years to release something else. If all goes as planned, I'd say that 1.5 year is... I think it's a good turnaround. But, you know, it's pending to... let's see how the lineup will be, who's going to sing. You know, we have many, many variables here.
Cool. And so if people want to buy your album, you can check it out on Bandcamp, right? And through No Remorse website?
Exactly. Yeah. I think that, you know, for people who prefer the physical copy, perhaps you can find it in any local record store. You can also order directly from the band if you visit our Bandcamp. We have, you know, CDs and LPs there, you know, for the more old school oriented stuff. Of course, you know, the digital sales are also very important. You know, it helps immensely for people that if people visit our Bandcamp and buy a digital copy. I mean, you know, I know that most people can go just download it, but, you know, this small fee helps the band goes a long way because, you know, the budget is huge when you're trying to do stuff in a professional way.
Yeah.
So, you know, every little thing helps. And, of course, via our labels, website, No Remorse. You can find there, you know, our album in any physical form and, you know, lots of other goodies from other bands.
Thank you so much, George, for joining on this podcast here.
Thank you, Soran. Thank you, every one of your listeners. And thank you again for your interest and the opportunity to speak about the band.
Have a nice day. Man.
Stay safe.
Stay safe, man. Fra sydens sol i det græske, så bevæger jeg mig nu op til vores nordlige breddegrader. Fordi nu skal det nemlig handle om det helt nye udspil Vredesvævet med finske Fintroll. Et af de her 5 store klassiske folk metal bands fra Finland. Og jeg står her med det nye album, som de har været 7 år om at trylle sammen. Absolut længe ventet af fans. Skuffer de? Gør de os glade? Det skal vi finde ud af nu. Jeg mener faktisk heldigvis ikke, at de skuffer her. Altså, det er en væsentlig mørkere plade, end forgængeren Blodsvæbt var, hvor Blodsvæbt var meget eksperimenterende i deres lyd. så er de gået tilbage i en mere klassisk old school Fintroll lyd på det her album her. Både i artworket, men så bestemt også rent musikalsk, hvor jeg synes, at de drager en væsentlig større inspiration fra black metal, end jeg har hørt fra Fintroll i mange år faktisk. Og det gør de ikke mindst på åbningsnummeret At Døde med en Sten, som vi skal høre her lige om lidt. Der er absolut old school Fintroll over den her plade her, og det kan jeg godt lide. Altså, jeg kan godt lide, når et band eksperimenterer, som de for eksempel gjorde på Blodsvæbt, men det er også fedt, når de begynder at bare køre en mere straightforward, klassisk lyd, som man kender dem for. Det skal jeg snakke med sanger Mathias om meget mere, efter vi har hørt, altså åbningsnummeret fra den nye Fintroll-plade Vredes Vævd. Her er At Døde med en Sten. Fik du At Døde med en Sten fra finske Fintroll, åbningsnummeret fra deres nyeste album Vredes Vævd. I forbindelse med udgivelsen af det her nye Fintroll-album, der fik jeg en snak med sanger Mathias Lillemunds. Og sidst jeg snakkede med ham, var da Fintroll spillede på Gimli Roskilde tilbage i 2018. Det føltes som en evighed siden jo. Det var jo ligesom dengang, hvor man stadig måtte gå til koncerter og ikke var lammet af coronaen. Og netop, jeg vil sige, Finlands tag på coronaen har gjort mig særdeles nysgerrig, fordi de har altså afholdt open air festivaler den her sommer, på trods af, at vi er larmet af coronapandemien. Hvordan har det kunne bære sig ad, og hvordan har Finlands tag på coronaen været i det hele taget? Det spurgte jeg blandt andet Mathias om.
Well, there are some kind of possibilities to do, but still all the venues they can work with, you know, like even if, you know, like even if they have capacity, so just right now they are either, you know, you do them like for half free, or you pay almost, you know, to play. So all the bigger bands right now are concentrating on streaming instead of you know, playing club shows, because yeah, you know, you could, some of the venues, you know, that are like 500, 600 capacity, you can only take like 200 people right now. So yeah, so it's a little bit bad situation. And well, as a Finnish musician anyway, we would have been on tour right now in Europe. So but we cannot really go anywhere or anything. So it's terrible. But I actually not now this weekend, but 1 weekend later, I'm gonna have actually 2 concerts with my punk band, and that's actually working out because they are kind of smaller venues, and you know, the people that are coming, they're not gonna be that many people, so we can actually sort of have them as normal shows, you know.
Yeah. So are people sitting? At shows,
they
or?
Don't need to be sitting, but they need to have, you know, a place to sit. So you can, if you don't have any seating for, let's say, like 90 people, then you know, you can only take as many people that you have, like, yeah, seating for. So yeah. So, but it's still, you know, some of the venues actually, when it's like small pubs and stuff like that, that still have some decent gigs right now, and so
pretty cool. I also saw that you had some
a little bit of normality.
Yeah, and also saw that you had some outdoor festival shows in Finland this summer. That was pretty incredible, I think.
Yeah, I think we had like three rock festivals this summer. Usually it's like 30 festivals or something, but we hadn't. That was still when it was a little bit better, you know. And when it, actually in the summer, we were pretty optimistic that it was, we beat the whole corona, and then we had a couple of these festivals. But now, since like half a month ago or something, it started going up, and then we are experiencing some kind of like second wave right now. So,
there's the same here in Denmark. Yeah, I think
But it was cool at least to play like one festival this summer, you know.
It must be something. How is it as a band to, you know, release an album in this period? It must have been busy planning.
Yeah, it have been, you know. You know, it's so weird because, you know, we have waited 7 years,
and that actually
really,
was
well,
one
not
of
waited, you know, we had lots of gigs, but you know, we have haven't released any music in 7 years, and when we do, you know, the world goes totally upside down.
Yeah.
And you know, as I said before, we should have been right now out in Europe on a tour. I think we would have been halfway through the tour or something like that right now, but that didn't happen. So but luckily we have some dates coming up, and you know, we have a sort of like pushed it half a year into the future, and well, it looked more optimistic, let's say like that. It looked more optimistic, you know, a couple of months back when we actually got it released and everything. Let's see now. You know, luckily we pushed it that far into the future. You know, if I've seen some bands that have actually announced some tours in November and December, and I'm really afraid that, you know, they're gonna have to cancel that one. But yeah, time will tell. But yeah, I think they are a little bit too optimistic with all the things.
Yeah, we must cross our fingers.
Yeah, they definitely. I really hope they're cool guys, and I don't wanna.
Concerning your new album, is it far out to say that this might be some kind of a "it's good to have you back" kind of album? You know, seven years. What have you been doing for 7 years? We're not releasing an album.
Yeah, for 7 years we have actually been doing a lot. You know, the first 2 years, you know, of those seven, we were touring on the Bruce Swift album like full on. We were everywhere. We had lots of European shows. We went to America for for a month and a half over there, and did lots of other places. And at that point, sort of when we came back from the tour, we still, you know, we were playing a little bit like here and there, but we sort of tried to write something at that point, and it didn't really feel like we wanted it to. We hadn't found, you know, what we were looking for in the album. It was just, it felt more like a bunch of riffs just like thrown together. So we were offered to do this like 10-year anniversary of the Nutfed album, so we went onto that tour, did that for a little bit over a year, and after that, you know, we tried again, and it was still, I think we were still stuck with those couple of songs. You know, there were lots of new riffs coming all the time, but there were never anything that, you know, you could make into a full song. And if we got something, you know, paired together with the riffs, it wasn't what we were looking for. It sounded like, you know, like a Blur Swept part two or something like that. So we just decided that we would do some more shows, you know, do some little bit like off the grid kind of concerts, you know, go to South America, go to Asia, and play a bit over there, and then see again, you know, how the material will come. And it went on like this, you know, until last year.
Yeah, I remember when we spoke last time that you had like four ideas or something. You told me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we were, you know, going back and forth with those ideas that we actually had. We had a couple of full songs already, maybe 3-4 years ago. But you know, it was something missing in them. I couldn't feel it, you know. No. But last year actually. I just asked the guys if we need to have an album out in 2020, otherwise, you know, people will start forgetting about Fintroll. We also, you know, sort of, we will lose the momentum. Well, already we sort of lost the momentum that we had with the Blur Swept album, of course. Mm. But still, people will start to forget about us if we don't have a 2020 release. So the guys said, yeah, we will have to try to write something, you know, we have to, and let's get some kind of deadline and see what happens. And I got the deadline from Century Media, and we started writing again. Mm-hmm. And then for some reason, I think we wrote like three songs or something, and sort of immediately after that third song, it was like, whoa, yeah, this is what we're gonna do, you know, because it's been on all these albums, you know, there's been like one song that sort of fall where everything falls into place, and then it's like
you're building it around it.
For example, on the Blur Swept album, it was the song Blur Swept that sort of was the icebreaker for the whole album. And then, you know, usually when we get that song, we go back, we rewrite what we have done so far. This time, you know, it took us 6 years to find it. Well, I shouldn't say 6 years, because, you know, the first 3 years we didn't, you know.
That was touring.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we're not the band, you know, that writes anything on tour. So, you know, the last maybe like 4 years, it's been, you know, looking for that kind of red thread for the album. And yeah, I think quite exactly 1 year ago, we actually found it. And then sort of the album started, maybe like every 2 weeks, there was like a new song or something like that. And then actually, I think it was 2 weeks before we had booked the studio, everything was finished this time, you know. Usually we have been, some of the songs have like half finished, or we have some ideas for some new stuff when we go into the studio. But this time, actually, everything was written, everything was done before. We had all the lyrics, everything. So,
in out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was weird, because when we got that song written, it sort of it opened up the whole thing for new ideas, and here we are.
Yeah, it's great. As I said, I think it's a fantastic album. It's when I hear it, I think it's kind of more dark and some places more brutal, if you may say so. It seems like you kind of turn into more like old school Fintroll kind of way on this one.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that was something on many of the songs we noticed. For example, when we have one of the last songs we did that was called that is called Urmfolk.
Yeah,
that was actually one of those songs that we were really like, yeah, if this would have, you know, different sound to it, you know, if we would have recorded it back then, it would have easily fit on the Jagdensteed album.
Yeah.
And that was a really like really nostalgic one, and it also has sort of a of the Jagdensteed feel to the main riffs, and also the middle part is a little bit like something that could maybe fit on the Nutfed album and stuff like that. So
yeah,
it definitely have some kind of old school feel, and that was sort of what we figured out, you know, when we wrote the song "Dirt Made Us Stand." We got this like end of 90s kind of symphonic black metal feel to it, and that was, you know, the sort of the twist that we wanted on this album was to
I can easily hear that.
To the nostalgic area of melodic black metal, you know, and then that was sort of the twist on this album, and not creating anything new this time. It's more like going back a little bit to the roots. That was sort of the new thing on this album.
Yeah.
But there's also, you know, there's also lots of new stuff on this album. There's you know, there's stuff that, you know, that could easily be on, for example, the Niflheim album up there. There's some of that. So yeah, so it's not only for old school fans of Finntroll.
No, it's cool that you say that, the symphonic kind of way, because I really dig the intro. I mean, the intro is fucking amazing. I think it's a great way to start the album, and it kind of, you know, turns the way into what the album is going to sound like for the rest of the record.
Yeah, exactly. That was you know, the idea behind this was to actually create a mood, you know, to set people in, to sort of like rewire your brains, you know, to the Finntroll world that is, you know, that the album that is coming, which is also a little bit sad, you know, when we released the singles, you know, before that, we couldn't have the intro there, you know, that people actually, you know, that you couldn't have the whole experience about this album. But still, you know, now when you put on the album, you know, it's, I think it's really important to have that intro. And in the intro already, there's some of the melodies that you will hear later in the album that are introduced. So at some point you will go, oh, this sounds familiar. And that's, you know, because they are already introduced in the intro. So yeah, it's a really, really important part of the album.
And also, I think it's kind of more of a straightforward Finntroll album. It's not so experimental like Bloodswip was. You don't have any jazzy pieces like, you know, Mormin or any trumpets or anything like that. It's more straightforward, if you might say so as well, I think.
Yeah, definitely. That was sort of the idea as well. We wanted it to be, you know, like if a Bloodswept, was also, in my opinion, kind of like a riff-based album. It was, this time we wanted it to be a little bit faster, a little bit more melodic, and then also a little bit more catchy and, you know, not so, but a little bit more easy to, you know, to get into the album. Bloodswept was kind of experimental at some point. Well, some songs are pretty straightforward, but some are very like challenging for if you are, true metal fan, you know.
Yeah, it was. I mean, my personal favorite on this one here is with Hexen's Heart. I think it's kind of sums up what you were all about. You know, the melodic, you know, acoustic intro, turning it up, and then the umpa kind of ending.
Yeah, exactly. With Hexen's Heart is it really like, how to say, like a Finnish song in that way. It has all the, you know, the melodies and the kind of melancholy that Finnish metal has. So I think it's a great song actually. That album.
Let's just quick talk about the title of the album. Vredesved.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of directly translated into like a wrath woven,
exactly,
or something woven. And that's actually, you know, we always also, you know, we write musically a theme as well, but we also have a theme of the lyrics. It's not like just, you know, nine pieces of lyrics that are thrown together. No, they have sort of a theme. And on this album, we are actually concentrating on different journeys or different trips. So, it's both, you know, it's like two kind of trips. It's all both the geographical trips, you know, that you travel to do something, or you also travel in here, you know, and that they have their spiritual journeys. So, but all these, you know, journeys that we are singing about, they are connected to anger or wrath or something in that way. And that's why all these, you know, stories on the albums are entwined with anger or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so that's the name of
the album. Also, I think that kind of reflects in the artwork as well.
That's always a really important part. And Katla and Skrymer, they have been, because Skrymer made the artwork again, and Katla made all the lyrics, they have been talking together and, you know, sharing ideas. So actually everything, you know, that we sing about is directly reflected in the artwork as well. I think that's been a big, you know, part of Fintroll, that's actually that, you know, that everything is connected, especially when we don't have any external sources for music or lyrics or artwork. We actually do everything ourselves. So it's been really important that everything is, like, you know, everything is glued together, everything, like, it's the Fintroll vision, you know.
And so you can't tour with this album here at the moment, but I've seen you have released a big load of tour dates for April, I think. And March.
March and April.
Yeah, March and April. Still no Danish dates. Hopefully, maybe we could have some.
Yeah. Well, you know, this has been so terrible because, well, you know, it would be nice to do, you know, Scandinavia. We did on a Bruce Swift album. We went this long Sweden tour. We also had dates in Norway, Denmark, and everything.
Yeah, and I remember you had Hatesphere as support as well.
Yeah, that was the Natfer tour.
Oh,
In Denmark. Yeah, cool tour. And I think we actually started. That was the first one was in Aarhus actually on that.
Oh yeah.
But I really hope that we can, you know, bunch a lot of Scandinavia together. You know, Sweden right now is. They're having so much trouble with the coronavirus, and it's actually red flagged in Finland, so you cannot actually travel to Sweden. Well, if you have, you know, if you have a reason, for example, you have to go to work or something like that. Lots of people, you know, live along the border that have to go to Sweden to work every day, and that's of course. But there's no every unnecessary traveling to Sweden is banned right now. So. That's why, you know, it's you know, we should have to sort of like avoid Sweden in some kind of weird way. that would be really a logistic nightmare in that sense. So I really hope that we can, you know, because there's probably going to be more than one European tour on this album. You know, if we can, you know, start traveling at some point. So I really hope that there's going to be some Denmark, and there's going to be Norway, there's going to be Sweden on that one. But, you know, it's so uncertain with the whole corona.
Everything's uncertain, yeah. Hopefully, I mean, this is an album which needs to be heard live, I think. It's
Definitely. This is really, with the tempo and everything, I'm really looking forward to start, you know, practicing these songs.
fik du ved Heksens Hår, mit eget personlige favoritnummer fra den nye Fintroll-plade Vredesvævet. En plade, der altså nu er ude via Century Media. Og ja, hvornår vi herhjemme igen kan opleve Fintroll, ja, det må tiden jo så lige vise. Jeg krydser alt, hvad jeg kan, for at det snart kommer til at ske. Ellers så må turen gå til Hamburg til april, hvis ellers alt snart vender tilbage til normalen igen. Alright, vi skal have et par hurtige events og koncertnyheder. Fordi allerede den 14. november, der tager jeg ned på Zeppelin Rock Bar for at fejre 20 års jubilæet fra Hammerfalls Renegade album. Og altså, det er en aften, hvor der er dømt Hammerfall og power metal på fuld udblæsning. Og det var altså den 14. november. Eventet for det her finder du inde på The Fire That Burns Facebook-siden. Og så har Stengade netop annonceret, at selveste tyske Storm Warrior kommer til Danmark. Det gør det den 22.10.2021. Billetsalget det er allerede i fuld sving, og det kan findes inde på Stengades Facebook-side. Og jeg synes altså lige, der skal vi skulle lige give en kæmpe krammer til dagen fra Stengade, for at trække en sjælden dansk koncert med Storm Warrior her til lands. Lidt større format, der kaster Copenhagen endnu en lille smule glans på 2021-programmet. Sabaton meldes klar til at indtage Helvetis-scenen igen. Her var de sidst i 2013. Og hvad kan man sige, Sabaton spiller fredag på Copenhagen, og det er jo et samme dag, som Gloryhammer også spiller på Copenhagen. Så der er altså dømt krigerisk superheltepower for alle pengene her. Og så har Copenhagen altså også lige offentliggjort blandt andet Svartsot, Orm og Denial of Guards, så der kommer også lidt god dansk metal på programmet i år. Og vi bliver lidt i black metal og viking metal universet, fordi festivalen Udgårdsfest er klar med programmet for 2021. Og modsat i 2019, hvor at festivalen var over 2 dage, så bliver den altså kun afholdt en enkelt dag inde i pumpehuset i 21. Det er den 13. marts, og programmet, ja, det ligger nu klart. Og det er sikkert og vist, at der bliver fokus på de danske navne i år. Lotan er netop blevet præsenteret et nyt black metal projekt med medlemmer fra blandt andet Vanir. De kommer og spiller deres første danske koncert. Det samme gør det nye folk metal band Vansind, som jeg faktisk fik lov til at opleve her for nylig sammen med Vanir og Etier på Richter i Gladsaxe. Det var faktisk en rigtig, rigtig fed debutkoncert fra Vansind, så det bliver spændende at så se dem på Udgårdsfest. Der kommer symfonisk black metal med Lamentary, og så kommer altid træfsikre viking metal med Hydra også forbi Udgårdsfest 2021. Vanir spiller et 10-års jubilæumssæt, og så kommer Søren Sol Koldsen Sederkovs Neo Dark Folk projekt Los med et helt fantastisk, tror jeg, spirituelt show, som blandt andet fans af Heilung bør tjekke ud. Det skal nok blive rigtig, rigtig interessant. Jeg glæder mig i hvert fald til Udgårdsfest 2021. Inden jeg runder den her episode af, så vil jeg bare godt have lov til at sige tusind tak til alle jer, der har lyttet med. Til alle jer, der har givet podcasten et like på Facebook, og til alle jer, der følger mig på Instagram nu her. Tusind tak. Jeg forsøger hele tiden at gøre den her podcast mere og mere spændende, så hvis du har nogle idéer og du har nogle tips, jamen så er du meget velkommen til at sende det min vej. Gerne til mailen thefirethatburns.dk@gmail.com. Og så husk desuden at tjekke thefirethatburns.dk. Her finder du en masse spændende content. Blandt andet en masse playlister, som jeg har sat sammen. Playlister af power metal, folk metal, viking metal, black metal. Gå ind og tjek det ud. Det er fucking fedt. Jeg runder af med et helt nyt band. Og så alligevel ikke helt. Fordi det er en gavet gut, vi har fat i her, som har lavet noget nyt. Lad mig præsentere jer for Hjelvik fra Norge. Et vikingemetal inspireret heavy band fra den tidligere Kvælertak frontmand Erland Hjelvik. Han er på gaden med sit debutalbum Welcome to Hell den 20. november via Nuclear Blast. Og er du til Battery, er du til beskidt heavy og punk, så skal du lytte med her, fordi nu skal vi høre første singlen fra netop Welcome to Hell. Her er North Star. Og så igen, tusind tak, fordi du lyttede med. Vi høres ved igen den 1. december.